Section 2. From Colonies to Independence. Indigenous People. Central and South America had amazing ancient cultures. These native cultures built empires that managed farms to feed their people, traded goods with nearby people, and developed complex social organizations. Throughout Latin America today, there is evidence of these now-vanished civilizations. The Maya civilization developed in Central America on the Yucatan Peninsula. It seems to have reached its peak around 2,000 years ago. Its cities had temples, roads, ball fields, and pyramids. The Maya were known to trade in corn, beans, and squash, which were common crops in all of the Americas. They were also known to trade in chocolate. Among the most famous of the indigenous people of Central and South America were the Aztec and the Inca. More is known about these people because their civilizations were thriving when the European explorers began to arrive following Christopher Columbus's voyages. The Aztec Empire was centered in what is now Mexico. Its capital city, Tenochtitlan, was built on islands in a lake where Mexico City is today. A large pyramid and island gardens made the city an impressive place. Further south along the western coast of South America, the Inca Empire developed in the Andes Mountains. The empire's leader, known as the Sapa Inca, used a network of over 14,000 miles of roads through the mountains. A messenger system of runners delivered communication throughout the Inca Empire. The Columbian Exchange. The rhyme that goes, "In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue," is well known to American schoolchildren. It summarizes the time when European explorer Christopher Columbus made contact with the people of the Americas. This event started an exchange between the Old World, Europe, and the New World, the Americas. This Columbian exchange included goods, people, ideas, plants, animals, and diseases. One of the goals of the Europeans was to increase the wealth of their home countries. Crops were brought from the Old World to the New World, including the grains, barley, wheat, and rye. Sugar, bananas, and citrus fruits such as oranges were introduced as well. Wheat grown in Mexico and Argentina, and sugar grown in the Caribbean and Brazil, became important to the region's economy. Cattle, goats, and sheep became important in the grasslands of Mexico, Venezuela, and Argentina. As the Spanish and Portuguese spread their empires, the indigenous populations began to decline. Disease was a big part of this decline, killing an estimated 50% to 75% of the population. The indigenous people did not have a natural immunity to diseases such as smallpox, measles, and malaria. These diseases, among others, ravaged their populations. War with the Europeans was another cause for the decline. In order to meet the demand for goods to be sent back to Europe, the Europeans transported Africans to the New World as enslaved servants to work in mines and on plantations and to do other jobs against their will. The Africans became part of this transatlantic exchange, too. African slavery. Gold and silver found by conquistadors, conquerors, made Spain and Portugal wealthy. The wealth also made the countries powerful. At first, these metals could be taken from the native people. As those supplies were used up, the Europeans decided to set up mines to find more. As more Europeans came to the Americas, some looked for ways to grow crops that could be sold in Europe. Sugarcane grew well in the Caribbean and in the tropics of Central and South America. Sugarcane was used to make sugar, molasses, and rum. Both of these projects required a large and inexpensive labor force. The Europeans looked to Africa to increase the number of laborers. Africans were brought to the Americas by ship. The situation developed into the transatlantic slave trade, a massive forced migration of African people eastward by ship across the Atlantic Ocean. Those who survived the journey had a hard life in the New World, with long hours of work, poor housing, and poor nutrition. Children born to the Africans were considered slaves, too. Children born to enslaved people were also considered slaves, facing a lifetime of work with no opportunity for freedom. For about 300 years, businesses that depended on enslaved labor grew. The number of enslaved people increased, and the plantations cultivating cash crops expanded. The most profitable plantations were in tropical areas near the coast, where large farms could be established. This labor force helped to build many of the countries of Latin America, but most of the wealth was sent back to Europe. As different countries gained freedom from Europe in the 1800s, they ended slavery. Today, the descendants of formerly enslaved people are an essential part of Latin America's culture. Most of the descendants still live in areas where plantation farming was important. Intermarriage of people from different continents has produced a diverse culture. People with only African ancestors, or people with both African and European ancestors, mulattoes, live in large numbers in these countries. For instance, about 60% of Cubans and nearly 50% of Brazilians are in these groups. Independence movements. The American Revolution in 1776 was an example of people in the colonies fighting for independence from their home country. The French Revolution, which began in 1789, ended the absolute monarchy of the French royal family. These events nurtured ideas of freedom in the colonies of Latin America. Mexico's move toward independence from Spain began in 1810, but the rebels failed. Smaller rebellions failed too until Mexico finally gained independence in 1821. Freedom of religion and equality of all people were important parts of the Mexican independence movement. Countries further south began to gain independence too. Brazil became independent from Portugal in 1822. Nearly all of South America was free of Spanish rule by 1825. Through the remainder of the 19th century, the United States had a dominant role in many Latin American countries. President James Monroe declared in 1823 that the United States would not tolerate European nations colonizing in Latin America. This idea, later called the Monroe Doctrine, became an important part of the policy of the U.S. government. The idea was that the rivalries and wars of countries in the Old World should not affect the freedom and independence of countries in the New World. The Monroe Doctrine also led the United States to try to have greater influence over the other countries in the Western Hemisphere.